So now I'm going to introduce Dia Felix as I pull up my notes. Dia Felix, it's an icy Thursday afternoon in my tiny room. Oh, it's an afternoon. It's a Frank O'Hara girl crush hairbrush afternoon. What is this invitation procured from sunlit pigeons wing tuft, 1,000 of them at once? As if hands reaching out from air, 1,000 grocery store sticky hands emanating from a moon just for moi. Invitations in Dia's poetry are boundless. Invitations for something I didn't yet know. I first felt the many, many armed handshakes and high fives of Felix's poetry at the Poetry Project a year or two ago, with a friend who was nervous to be there. Apparently, the magical emanations of this poet, Dia Felix, could claim the coldest of hearts, and I totally got it. It was the most exciting reading, suspense, and drama I had been to. Felix's poems felt like if Prince wrote a love song to you personally, richly, warmly, welcoming, but so precise, like a microscope wrote them. We went to say thank you and hello afterwards in that reading, and I remember my friend and I compared how soaked our hands were. Felix writes an exaltation for a Wednesday morning, and that was the poem that I quoted in the beginning, but added in Thursday. Actually, I should have said Saturday. But Felix writes, yes, it happens. I slept with some books on the bed too. If you can call it sleeping, if you can call it books. Just kidding, of course they were books. Felix's poems announce themselves here to be read in sleep. I can't help but think of this announcement as aligning with all this pandemic stuff, or whatever you want to call it. What or who else would we even be able to sleep with but a sweet group of books all donning safety masks in bed? Take a nap with me, they say, Felix's many-handed sticky hands pulling the covers over you carefully, tucking you in, maybe even opening a window slightly to let some cool air in. They love you and you will love them. Dia Felix wrote the Lambda-nominated experimental novel Nochita and the poetry chapbook UUU and programmed the experimental reading series Guts, published recently with Asterix, Poetry Project Newsletter, Your Impossible Voice, Columbia Journal. And I don't know if this is still the case, but this is what else on the bio. By day, she produces interpretive media at San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. Who knows what the present will hold? At least we know it will hold the reading of Dia Felix. Please welcome Dia Felix. With loud applauses.
Tasso, thank you for that. I am a little destabilized by your kindness and flattery and all those lovely, lovely things that you just said about me. So thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me. And thank you, Ian, for inviting me. And Jeremy, thank you so much for your reading. It's funny, I had a few resonances with what you read, Jeremy, but one of them was about the new emotions, because I was thinking, like, as we were gearing up and I was feeling this Bustelo seasoned energy rise in me as my friends and strangers like began to pepper the screen, and I was feeling so nervous and so happy and so like hungry for reading and writing in a way that I haven't been for the past few weeks somehow, which makes no sense, but I know others are experiencing that too. Others are also not reading. But I just felt like I found some new emotions, and then you talked about new emotions. So that was cool. And I really do want to read and write now. So who knows what tomorrow will bring. So I have moved recently, as Tasso mentioned. I was in San Francisco and I just moved in early March, back to New York. So that's where I am right now. So that was cool timing. I came to New York and, you know, just in time to be locked in my studio apartment in Manhattan. But I bring that up not just because my life is so hard, but because it also, I feel like, informs sort of how I chose what I am going to share with you today, which sort of feels like things from inside different boxes. It is interesting to speak and hear silence. It's really interesting. I think I'm going to change my thing to gallery view. I'm looking at your huge face, Tasa, which is lovely, but I think if I look at everyone, I'll feel a little bit like this is real. Is this real right now? Yeah?
That's your decision.
Kind of. Yeah. Seems like mostly a yes. Okay, so I'm going to read a few poems for you. This is a poem that I wrote for my very dear friend, Adrian. And I'm thinking about her today because it's her birthday today. And I looked up this poem and I'd like to share it with you. It's called "The Sky is Bigger Than the Sea." Okay? I gave birth to a pearl out of which emerged a small baby pirate with albumen white skin and needle sharp tiny teeth. She crawled along milky salt water, farting out red bubbles and spitting rude words. She nibbled along the freeway. She clenched her asshole in greeting when the hordes of Harleys thundered past. She spit yellow dust like turmeric out of her pussy, bits of wet rolling papers. She tried to make some friends, but they were writing songs about weed, and she preferred to stick her tongue in the tart, wet slits of wet black trees. Some trees hang over the ocean, threatening land and sea, really saying, if they could say, this is the ending. The baby pirate grew ideal knockers, hid them under band-aids. The baby's butt cheeks inflated into ideal globes. Those too were kept under wraps. She had a secret, which was that she really loved the smell of her auntie's expensive perfume. It smelled of fresh grass, apple skin, and money. The baby said to the ant, "I believe this smell to be a spell," and the ant continued tidying up, did not respond. The baby kept walking. The gray fog rolled off her back. The motorcycles were far off. The trees calmed down. The dogs walked with her, but out of her sight. The baby kept walking. She plucked fists of grass violently, but playfully, and sang rude songs to herself, and stopped to quickly shit. The baby kept walking. The freeway grew warm and dry. The air grew warm and dry. The top of the sky grew taller, was always growing taller. So now I'm going to share a couple of poems that are super recent, kind of fragments, you might say. WIP, as the kids say. Lucky Strike is closing, a totem. Can only hope much of this is a dream. TBH, I think of this other life, the other, you know, road less traveled or whatever. Legit, I can see a small dog, wise, and a tight-knit Mexican blanket. I dream of road trips, an Atwater village of the mind. It's near enough in memory that I can say with certainty, though, the reality exceeds the dream. I've smelled it. I was there. Now I'm here. From my bird cage in Hell's Kitchen, I'm like, did I go the wrong way? If I can't meet you at Lucky Strike, I don't think this is going to work. This poem is called "Rest in Peace All Night with You." I went to Amazon.mom. It demanded an apology, so I slammed the clam and just sat in my chair. I was the chair. I am the chair. Sorry, but I got old in this room, drunk forever on proximity to your halo or whatever that is around your head when you wake up before you wash in your spirit gallery. Your eyes every morning have to remember where they go on your face. In the afterlife is pie. mouths, am I right? Too much time inside and too many food deliveries makes you feel like a heifer to the slaughter. I eat food and it goes out the other mouth, but what happens to the books I read? Drain the swamp. Swab and throb in my bed like a slammed thumb, like an urgent sardine. Sorry if it's heavy to say, oh, never mind, listen. You can't blame me for being confused by the suicide of a ghost who always had an eye on me from the pinhole in a tombstone. Me, an old-fashioned dancer in your, excuse me, but in your camera obscura. Then what am I now? I become the camera. The sky a swallowing throat. I gently bash my trash. Slow motion, closed fist, I gently bash my trash down into the trash. Being careful of the glass, remember the broken glass. Go ahead, be excited about the morning. The sky will whistle for you. Be basic as you can be. Be a blanket, be a dog, be a dumb dog, eat pie. The sky opens like a shop door slamming up. If you can remember what that was like, when there was a market, cruising. Cheap sunglasses you put right on your face. Cheap hats, coronas of St. Mark's Place. Ashes to ashes, teeth to dust, my eyes to croissants. Look at the water. Look at the water. How am I doing? How's everything? You guys okay? This is so weird. Okay. Yeah. All
eight,
right.
Eight thumbs way up.
All right. Thank you for speaking, Tasso. I feel a little less encapsulated. Okay. So now I'm going to read from an older manuscript called Spells. And I don't know. I was just looking through some things and I just felt like it felt really vital. And it kind of like gave me an energy hit that sort of felt like good medicine for this moment. So I'm going to try it, okay? For a few minutes. Shiver shell and car top. Swagger unto earshot. Spin on the tongue of a mop. Titties bounce into shaking shell of ribs. Rattlers into coil a song. Shoes upon shoes. Deep into a sail. Tap will wait. I attend the bride among the birds as the black car breathes, is the earth, swirling its fury silently, with more strategy than we realize, crouching and quiet, not breathing, not moving. I'm pushing a car up a hill, collecting my feelings on the outside of my skin, fingering them off, using my finger to finger, using my finger as a knife, with which I measure every year and the cut of each pain. So the years. Well, back to the spell. Between the books are leaves, invisible, a mood ledger. I slip down hospital walls. I am washed. Layers, as in dinner, an arm of outfits. I'll endure a small itch. I do not like to hear the music, but I love to watch the band warm up, tune up. I eeled into a taxi. I went boing against a night. It was summer's eve, like the vaginal cleaner. It's American if you don't know it. I went to work in a tower of smell. I made it lean. I thought my stylish was my real friend. The furniture was floating away from me all the time. I threatened it back into place. Everything seems mock to me. Everything seems to mock me. I had thought being rich would solve it all. I go home alone and shove cooked squid up my ass. I got rich through the branding of human intestine, still inside the body, certain bodies, celebrity patties. I branded and colonized the guts, not with healthy flora, but with light burned tattoos. I started a business where I kill, then revive. I've branded it yoga. I pray into their hands, deliver a small synthetic flower scented with ash, pine, blackened rose. I do whatever reads as a ritual. I got rich through the branding of human bodies. I venture out for lunch with a swarm of bees who are my interns. I love what the kids are wearing these days. The new things, the dildo breaks, the fake glasses. I crawl into the sand with my dog. Sure, he heralds my death with all the gravitas of a candy bone between the canines, but we cannot condemn our natures, iron them flat, or brand them. Or can I? I give a cherry gas to force sleep. Most people like to sleep horizontal. The old lady, though, she liked to sleep right against the door. She'd grown up in a boat, is what. She taught me to wear an apron and see a doctor when ailing. I taught her to wear an earring for adornment. Now the kids wear mousetraps on their fingers to flaunt their lack of concern for functionality. I don't know why I go for functionality so hard. When alone, I immediately hump doctor's orders. I need a nanny for myself. What do you call that? A nanny for an old man, a wife, a phone, a pet, a concerned daughter, a beloved son, my old best friend. Yeah, I saw the ocean in his dark sunglasses. Yeah, though I thought I knew the wind because it touched the inside of his shirt. Yeah, though I thought I knew home when he opened the cupboard and invited me in. I drew myself into a turtle-shaped knot. I held my breath for a few years. Friendship. Collected my trophy and left. New friend. Her face was vanilla with intact chocolate chips, a Kentucky Derby ensemble gone to hell and dipped in chocolate. We made a menage of gravy with our alchemical souls, our asses scooting into the backseat of some sucker's car. We were not alone. We scooched a universe and puffed up dust. Our skulls into the kaleidoscope. We used everyday objects and were more than the sum of our parts. Let me show you San Francisco. Let's eat a tiny hamburger each first. Let's nap on this pool table first and joke with these dental tools. I barbecued the mall across my face, a tattoo for laughs. We cartwheeled the film credits, one up, one up. I clitorised it on down in the shape and space of a swirled dog poo, an exact circle. You shooed yourself up the groin. Yeah, though we knew it would not last, we collected mountains of gold coins, and it turned out to have lasted. Let's have a summer together, my shoplifter, my extra stilt queen. I bubbled over and foamed my own mouth. Always, please tell me. I forgot to emerge. Between the aisles, I open-mouthed slowly into a fossil, eyes panicked but unhelpable, lost a few thousand years ago. The bat of your love, the wind created by a fan club of bats. Never alone, I let the bats land on me after the show, shrouding me. While the others drink the night away, I assume the vertical line next to the garbage cube, and I am blanketed into blackness by wave after wave, shield after shield, cove, cove, cove of the bats. It's retail, the morning. It's fine. There's faces. Okay, just a little more of this, and then we'll be done. What became of you, bridesmaid? Bridesmaid's blackout is a special stripe. You swear a bird flew away with your special mauve sash in its teeth? Come on, let's dance anyway. Wedding DJs, American occult. The mountains are not dead. Mysticism is alive and recognized when the dance floor flames instantly at the first bars of Jenny Jenny, Hey Ya, or Billie Jean. Oh my pearls. Everything is made of stardust. Body, brains, pearls, even barf. Rub your hands together and make a world, including silk sashes, boats, watches, and tender amphibious genitals. In the woods, a tiny infant is nudged awake by a deer. In the city, a girl pulls up her particular socks. After a few army nights, speech takes on layers, wheels and motion blur. And you just tell your friend, man, you're ugly. You're just ugly. And you think little pieces of tape are roaches, or things which are roaches turn out to be fool-ass little bits of tape. Baby, it's the times. I'm sorry. The times are getting me down. Baby, they pull you aside and remind you that I'm the handsomest. The people at the museum appraise me and remind you. After all this, can we please go to the place to get fried little ribbons of seafood? I need that connection. In the morning, all my blood tests, the panel, as they say. Baby, I'd like to sit on your panel. All right, I don't know about that. Hi, is this still happening? This is so weird. All right, I'm gonna read one, in conclusion, I'm gonna read one tiny poem, which when I get confused and I'm like, do I even write poems? What's happening? I'm like, I wrote a poem. It's short. It's about a pastry that I ate in Lisbon. Pastel de nata. I should say just a little something about what they are. If you're not familiar, they're those little like egg custard pastries that you can eat like three or four of with your coffee. They're really small and they're called pastel de nata. Obviously, an egg roll kisses the sperm core of your brain. My hand floats through the monk's skirt, hits my own third eye. Thank you all very much for listening to my reading. It's nice to see you. Thanks.